Hey, this is actress Carissa Lee Staples, and you're listening to the O Brother Podcast.
Welcome to the O Brother Podcast with hosts Dan and Mike Smith, brothers from the same mother with different opinions on movies, TV, video games, and more, plus celebrity interviews. Get ready, get set, it's time for the O Brother Podcast. Welcome to the O Brother Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Smith. Alongside me, as always, my brother from the same mother, Mike Smith.
How's it going tonight, Dan?
Good, man. We're nothing if not topical and current. We're doing a movie that came out, back in January?
Yeah, something like that.
It's May 19th, 2023, as of this recording. But we're doing, this is A Man Called Otto, which, of course, was the latest Tom Hanks feature film.
And I saw this a while ago.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Yeah, well, I did. It's been a while for me.
It came out January 13th, 2023. And, you know, I was reluctant to see it for no particular reason. It just didn't compel me to want to see it. There was nothing.
Well, you were down on Hanks, too.
I was a little down on Hanks. And I'm glad you said that because, because as I've said before in the podcast, I worry about Hanks. And this will sound funny because he's what, like at least a two-time Oscar winner.
Mm-hmm.
Like the believability, I feel like, oh, this is just Tom Hanks with a hat on or Tom Hanks in a suit or just,
right.
Just Tom Hanks.
I have Fred Rogers back there.
Right, right.
You know, so Tom Hanks in a sweater.
Right, Tom Hanks in a sweater with sneakers on. Right.
Yeah.
So, but we'll get more into that. I got to tell you, so I was at a local, it's a national global chain.
Establishment.
Coffee establishment that, mm-hmm. I won't mention the name, but they originated out of the Seattle area, perhaps.
And you usually cost you a lot of bucks when you go there.
It usually does cost a lot of bucks when you go when you go there. And so I was there, I don't know, several weeks ago. And they do this thing where they put one cup, they double cup your
mm-hmm.
coffee, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then there's two lids, or at least one lid on two cups. So when you go to grab it from mm-hmm. them, just out of the drive-thru or whatever, a lot of times it slips. Or if you grab it out of your cup holder, it slips.
Mm.
And I've had coffee all over the car multiple times.
Ooh.
And yeah, and
it's a lawsuit, man. Let's sue.
Well, this establishment. Establishment isn't known for their boiling hot coffee too. So let's say that, but so I said, you know, I'm kind of tired of that. And then I'm like, why am I even going to this place anymore? Cause they built one within walking distance from where I live. So I said, I'm going to get one of those reusable mugs.
Right.
Right. And then just do get it that way. Right. So I've had this for just a few weeks or so, and I've used it a couple times. I don't go there every day. But when I do, I usually go through the drive-thru, you know?
Right.
And so I've done that already with the mug. And so I go the other morning, right. And this seemed topical to me because of the theme of A Man Called Otto, which I'll have you set up here in a minute.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this grump, you know,
mm-hmm.
And I get up to the drive-thru window, not the window, I'm ordering. And I say, yeah, I got one of those reusable, you know, just to give my heads up, you know, so that way I can drive up and then they just boom, pour it right in the thing. This woman goes into this long diatribe about how they can't accept that. And, oh, sorry, we're going to have to put your coffee in a cup. And then when you come up, we'll dump it into the, I'm like, okay, I just, can't you just take it? Well, no, we can't, you know, we've got to. And
have you,
you
done
know,
it before?
I've done it before.
Uh-huh.
And I said, well, maybe you should inform all of the locations because they're doing it in other areas, right?
Right.
In other stores, they're doing
right.
it. Well, yeah, and she's one of these that she wants to continue to reiterate the point, even though, so then I engage, and I want to just keep going at her because of the, how ludicrous this whole situation is. Like, I'm just going to drive up, and you're telling me you're going to waste some of your inventory, and only to just turn around and pour it into my cup.
Right.
So, and then she says, well, because, you know, we can't take personal items through the window. Or she's like, now I think she's making things up. I don't know what the rules are. But I said, okay, it's just black coffee. But because I don't even get anything in my coffee. You can literally just take the carafe and pour it into my mug.
Black coffee in bed.
But still, nope, not acceptable, whatever. Ah, nice squeeze reference. Appreciate that. Coffee in bed. So I'm just like, okay, sounds good to me. Like I tuned out at that point. I get up to the window and I hand her the mug. And then she, to add insult to injury, would you mind removing the lid? No, sure, that'd be fine. I remove the lid, give her the thing. She pours it. It's like almost spilling
right
over
on
the
edge.
She goes, is that a little too much? I said, yeah, I think so. She takes it, dumps it out, and then hands it back, and I'm on my way. But I'm like, really? Did we need to go through that whole do-si-do to just pour some black coffee in a mug? What you're telling me is there should have been like a warning on the mug when I bought it that said, can only redeem this inside the store.
Yeah.
If I'm going to get all this business when I go through the drive-thru. Right. So anyways, doesn't this sound like something Hanks would take up as Otto in this movie?
Probably, yeah.
So give us the synopsis here.
Well, you said Grump, or I don't know what was the word you used, but he is kind of a curmudgeon.
Yeah.
And I like the movie, first off. Let me get that out of the
way. I did too.
I didn't love it. You know, I wouldn't, you know, Road to Perdition, drop everything, go watch it. Mm-hmm. This one's, you know, good watch because I think he's basically playing against type. He's not the nice guy. He's not Geppetto. He's this grouchy guy that you really don't like. He's not likable.
Yeah, Geppetto.
Right? So basically he's a stickler for the rules and the subdivision, you know, which you can relate to with your place.
He was once president of the homeowners association where he lives.
That's right. And he checks everyone's car for a sticker. You don't have a sticker. You're not supposed to be coming through here. Mm-hmm. You know, shut the gate, all these, you know, things. But there's something, you know, beneath
underlying
all this,
that, correct,
that the movie gets into.
Mm-hmm.
So as a setup, it's a man named Blotto or Otto that
well,
likes
you can
to get
say,
Blotto.
My name is Otto. I love to get Blotto.
Nice Simpsons reference. You can say what is underlying all that.
Well, he lost his wife recently.
Yes.
So he's dealing with the death of his wife, and he's planning on taking his own life.
6 months ago, she passed away. Cancer. I was going to join her.
Yeah. In fact, there's a warning at the beginning of the film, right? That there's some images and some scenes that involve, you know, suicide.
Right.
Right. And so there's like a warning. So I knew, okay, so this is going to be kind of heavy watching it. But yeah, I mean, I thought it was really good. Like you said, I didn't love it. It wasn't like, you know, a 5-star or anything like that, but and I was looking at kind of the performance because it's been out a while now. It's been out almost 6 months.
Yeah.
And the budget was $50 million, which, you know, I guess for what it is, right? It's
right.
You know, sets and, you know, there's no pyrotechnics or anything going on.
Yeah. 15, 20 of that's him.
Well, yeah, perhaps. So a budget of $50 million. It did. I had to look at this up close, but opening weekend. Now, I don't know. Did this come out? Was this streaming? Is it one of those where it was streaming at the same time that it was in the theaters?
No,
I can't remember.
No, okay. It got a separate release.
It did get a theatrical release. Okay.
Yeah.
Opening weekend, $56,257.
But see, you got how many screens?
I don't know.
See, that's what you got to look at.
But I mean, that's pretty paltry.
Well,
56,000?
It might have opened just in LA and in New York.
True. Now, the worldwide gross, it's made its money back. It's over 112 million.
Yeah. So to me, that's what that.
And I think that's decent
of.
for a movie like this.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Now, it's directed by Mark Forster. Do you know Mark Forster?
The name's familiar.
Well, check this out. So I you know, looked up his resume. And I in order of most recent feature films that he directed, Christopher Robin, which came out in 2018.
Right. That's which with was Ewan McGregor.
Ewan McGregor, right.
Mm-hmm.
World War Z, he directed.
Okay. With
Brad Pitt. 2013, yeah. Here you go. You ready? 2008's Bond entry, Quantum of Solace. Which I thought was interesting.
Yeah, not a great one, but...
No, but still, you know, he directed a Bond film.
It's a Bond film.
To put on your resume. And then going back to 2001, he directed Monsters Ball with Halle Berry and Billy Bob Thornton.
Academy Award winner.
Yeah. So I was surprised. I was like, wow.
Yeah.
The name wasn't as recognizable, of
the
course,
name, the film. You know, Quantum of Solace, because Casino Royale was so good.
Yeah.
That anything after that was going to be a letdown.
Now, let me jump ahead to the ratings, okay, since we're talking about the performance of the film. So IMDb, which is more your go-to, 7.5 out of 10.
50, that's high.
51 Metascore.
Oh, okay, that's okay.
Yeah. 7.5, yeah, it's the,
okay.
And then Rotten Tomatoes, just to compare, the critics, 69%. And... Hmm. The audience, 97%, which I can see that.
Yeah.
I didn't read a lot of the critical reviews, but what do you think maybe that would be attributed to?
Well,
on the critic side,
I just don't think there's anything special there as far as, you know, the film.
Is this a Groundhog Day with a little bit more drama or,
Yeah. I mean, it's lower than I thought, but
from the critics. Yeah.
Yeah. But not crazy lower than I thought,
you know, and going back to when we talked about Hanks, and I'm always sort of, you know, these, and I love Tom Hanks.
Right.
I
mean,
you know,
right.
I have since Bosom Buddies, you know, going way back, but
yeah.
I right away, I had no issue. I don't know if it was his, not his accent, but his, you know, his speech in the film. And he was very thin.
Mm-hmm.
He was very, very thin. But I don't know, just the way he played it or something. I was immediately kind of like, yeah, okay. Suspending the fact that, you know, this Tom, I saw him as this curmudgeon, as this guy.
Right.
Pretty much from the jump, you know,
it's kind of like we were watching this show on HBO called Barry.
Yeah.
And the woman who plays, is it Sarah? Is that her name?
Mm-hmm.
She's in this really dark place.
Yeah.
And she plays it. The actress plays it so well.
Yeah, she's great.
It's not fun to be depressed. And it's not fun to play depressed.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's what he's doing here. And he gets into this dark space, which you can only imagine. You know, he was probably no picnic to be married to, but he obviously loved his wife quite a bit, and that loss was crushing.
Yes,
to him.
Although she left him with a message of, you know, we need to continue to live.
But now I think she wants me to keep living. And I have things to do.
You know, right. I mean, it isn't like she gave him any reason or excuse to feel sorry for himself or anything like that. But, you know, a lot of people go through that, of course, when they're grieving a spouse or, you know, a loved one.
And, you know, I can relate to living by myself and having neighbors trying to engage me and me just not wanting to engage them.
You're talking current day.
I'm talking through my life, right?
Right, yeah.
Because
yeah.
I'm kind of that kind of person. I'm kind of the guy that's next to you. Waves high is pleasant.
Yeah. Not quite Howard Hughes, but a recluse nonetheless.
Yeah, definitely, you know, a recluse and definitely somebody that, you know, if you like come over to my house and bring me cookies, I'm like, okay, what is this?
Well, I mean, we've gotten very much like that in society in general, haven't we? It's like we're very sort of skeptical of any niceties.
Right.
You know, and
he has these neighbors that are very persistent, and I can relate to this quite well about wanting to, you know, wanting good things for him, wanting him to be happy, wanting him to engage, you know what I mean?
Despite his obvious refusal to do so.
Right. Unlike that's where we differ is I will, you know, play nice, where he doesn't even play nice.
No.
He's like, the cat, get the cat. What's that cat doing here? There's a leash law. Get him on a leash.
Yeah.
You know, and then they try to give him the cat.
Ironically, you know, there's this whole theme about a weak heart, you know, that plays into it because he's got a heart condition. And unlike the Grinch, his was a few sizes too big, as it turns out.
Right, right.
And that plays into it as the story unfolds as well. But I just like the kind of symbolism of that as a guy who's got this big heart, but yet nobody sees that in terms of how he cares for them or interacts with them.
Right.
And I thought that was kind of neat. You know, it was interesting. We did... On the previous episode, we did the review of the Michael J. Fox documentary about, you know, of course, his life with Parkinson's and it was much more than that, but of course, heavily focused on that. And that's also a storyline in this as well, because his neighbor, this African-American couple that lived next door to him, the wife actually has Parkinson's and doesn't tell him. This is the interesting thing too, right? These are all, again... very genuine people.
Yeah.
Caring, compassionate, empathetic people. It's funny.
And these were his friends.
They were his friends.
This couple
right.
were his friends when That's they right. were married.
Yeah. And, yeah.
You know, they did couple things.
Right. Her name's Anita. And, you find out she's got Parkinson's and her husband is confined to a wheelchair and really doesn't speak or anything.
It's really like dementia.
I think
he's in the early to mid stages of dementia.
Right, right.
Because he's just not there.
No. And, I got to say that, you mentioned they were friends. Mm-hmm. And there's actually some scenes with he and the gentleman neighbor.
Right.
When they're much younger. There's this whole montage of them, like, you know, they're friends, but then there's this weird competition that starts taking place over the cars that they buy.
Right.
You know, whether it's a Ford
or a Chevy.
And then his neighbor really makes things worse when he buys a Toyota.
That just fractured
the relationship entirely.
I can remember that time, you know, where it was American cars.
Oh, yeah. American made all the way, et cetera. You know, even though half the guts were, you know.
The interesting thing, too, is in those flashbacks, Tom Hanks' real-life son plays him.
Yes, thank you for bringing that up.
And it's not Colin.
No, it's...
Which people know. No, but this is the first time I've seen him. I didn't know of this son. I know he has a younger son that's
Truman
a
Hanks. Truman.
Truman.
Hanks.
Yeah. We should have both known that.
Yeah, but there's a younger child Otto as well named Bodie Wilson, played by Bodie Wilson.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But yeah, Truman, who I had never seen before, I thought did a really good job.
He did a very good job.
It wasn't like it was a small part. It was a pretty significant.
I wouldn't slap the Nepo baby label on him. I think he did a great job and held his own in it just fine. Now, I got to say, we talk about performances. Okay, for me, Mariana Trevino, who is a Mexican actress, she plays Marisol, which is one of the new neighbors.
Her
and her husband, Tommy, come rolling into town and make their presence known pretty loudly. Guy's trying to back up a U-Haul and he just does not know how to steer a trailer, which isn't the easiest thing in the world to do. God forbid our father was watching that happen. He would have made Otto look like, you know, Mr. Rogers.
Get out.
Yeah. Let me handle this.
You know,
but
30 years old and can't park a trailer.
Mariana Trevino. I thought for me, she stole this movie. She was fantastic in this film.
She was definitely a scene stealer.
She was so natural on camera.
Mm-hmm.
And she was so funny and so poignant at times. I mean, she had a lot of scenes with him. I mean, they were really the two big stars of the film, in my opinion. I think that's pretty clear.
And she was the one that really had to crack his code.
That's right. And, you know, the beautiful thing about it, too, one of the most beautiful moments for me was, as the story goes on, you know, he's looking at this sort of Hispanic couple coming into the neighborhood. And, you know, he's not judging them necessarily on that, you know. Mm-hmm. But Clearly, this guy is probably not the most embracing of diversity on the block.
And they've already got three kids and she's, you know,
right,
9 months.
Exactly. But fast forward to later in the story, they convince him to babysit their kids.
Right.
And while he's doing that, he also does what? He installs a dishwasher for them. And this is the thing, right? There's the big heart coming out.
Right.
But anyways, he's babysitting the kids. And while he's doing that, he notices a diploma on the wall and discovers that Marisol actually has a master's degree in like Spanish literature or something like that from New York.
Mm-hmm.
And that seems to really endear him even more to her, because you remember he says more than once in the film, "You're no dummy."
Right.
The world is full of complete idiots who have managed to figure it out, and you are not a complete idiot.
You know, so they form a really nice relationship. It was a nice interplay between the two.
Yeah, he or she does not know how to drive.
Mm-hmm.
And
not only does he teach her how to drive,
right,
he teaches her how to drive using a stick shift.
Correct, which is... Actually, I learned on a stick shift as well, which is kind of odd.
Well, I learned to drive a stick shift in a box truck. I tried doing that.
When you were delivering stuff.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
No, I to this day have struggled with a stick shift because you have to be. And when I learned it was on the column.
Yes.
You know, reverse.
Yeah.
Reverse, you push all the way and down.
Right.
You know, it wasn't like a stick.
Those came right off the Ford assembly line. You had one of the first ones.
I forget what it was. It was like a Comet or, you know, some piece of crap. Like
the steering wheel was like this big, you know.
Yeah. And I don't even know why I learned on that. I think it was because we had this Jeep.
Mm-hmm.
And in the winter, the Jeep had a plow. So I needed to learn a stick shift because I needed to drive the plow.
The tough thing is when you learn a stick and then you get away from it for a while and you get that phantom clutch
disease
where you think there's a clutch. And it's kind of weird. It's like Robert Klein, "I can't stop my leg."
I can't stop my leg.
I can't stop my leg. Yeah, I mean, we mentioned the relationship between Hanks's character Otto and then the neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
There's some deep fake in this. It was somewhat subtle. You remember when they showed them younger with the montage I mentioned when they were competing with the cars that they bought?
Yeah.
So did you have any thoughts about the deep fake? It was just weird to see.
I'm not even sure what you're talking about.
Oh, you don't
about.
Remember?
Well,
when they went back to do the montage of the cars, it was, you know, they were going back in time like 30 years.
Right.
And so it was Hanks and that other actor
right.
on these other people's bodies. It was a weird, you didn't pick up on, it wasn't like it was him and them current day. They're like in their 70s. I mean,
I didn't pick up on it.
Go back and watch it now because it's really strange. It's strange.
Because it's, like I said, it's been a while since I've seen it.
Yeah, it's kind of strange looking. He
and
has
it's just now, I think, coming out on...
it's on
DVD.
Netflix. Oh, okay.
Is it on Netflix?
It's
already
on Netflix. Yeah,
wow.
That's where I saw.
And it's the DVD I saw on the shelf this week.
What you must have liked his relationship with the cat.
Of course, you know. Although I would have taken the cat in right away.
I know he leaves him out in the cold and almost freezes to death at one point. But
yeah.
Fortunately, that worked out in the end. So he had a condition called hypertrophic cardiomyopathy was the name of it.
Mm-hmm.
And again, we talked about that, the weak heart and all of that. Some of the other performances, you know, his wife, Sonia, was played by Rachel Keller. There's a character in it, one of the neighbors named Malcolm, who was a student of his wife because she was a teacher. She was like
Correct.
A high school teacher
Correct.
Or middle school or something, elementary maybe even. And this this transgender character named Malcolm, played by Mark Beta,
is he the one that's always walking?
Riding a bike. Yeah, and he delivers the papers or whatever.
Right.
And Otto gets pissed at him because he's like throwing them in the snow or something.
Yeah.
But eventually they come to, you know, form a bond.
And then there's another guy that is just a walker. He's always walking.
Oh, that's Jimmy.
Right.
Jimmy's.
And he used to have dinner with them.
Yeah.
Like every week.
Yeah. Super and, nice guy. A little odd.
Right.
But, you know,
right.
He's always out doing his calisthenics and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Tommy, which is Marisol's husband, was played by Manuel Garcia Rulfo. I don't know if I'm mm-hmm. saying that correctly, but hopefully I am. And he was great too. He was really, he played, yeah. he had some good comic relief and, kind of the clown, you know, he had to play sort of the punchline.
He was trying to fix a window and he fell off the ladder and.
Yeah. He just wasn't very inclined to do much of anything, you know?
Right.
Yeah. Clearly he couldn't put in a dishwasher. He couldn't, you know, park the car. All that stuff. But yeah, I liked it. I would recommend it. It's funny, you know, having resisted it. And then I was like, you know what? I really enjoyed it. It was heartfelt. Yeah. I'm a sucker for that stuff. So like, mm-hmm. You know, did I shed a tear or two? Perhaps, you know, I will not confirm, deny that. But I just want to say again, Mariana Trevino mm-hmm. as Marisol was just, I thought she gave such a beautiful performance in this. I mean, to me, it was like award winning. I thought it was that good. I really did. I really did. Because it was just so, it seemed so effortless.
Yeah.
And she had to play like this incredible range of emotions. And,
right.
And then to have to, you know, befriend him eventually and then kind of take on, not the burden, but, you know, be sympathetic to his loss. And it's just, I don't know. It was really nice. Really
and
nice.
There was a couple of heavy moments where he tries to kill himself.
Yeah.
And ironically fails.
Which I didn't find, I don't know if they were intending for any of those to be a little humorous. I can't say if, you know, I don't know if that's because we've got experience with that topic in our lives, but
yeah, I don't think so.
It didn't ring as humorous, you know, because he'd be going to do it and then he'd get interrupted by the doorbell or something. And
yeah, or
it was such an insane juxtaposition.
Didn't the gun go off by accident?
He had a gun at one point. It blew a hole in the ceiling.
Yeah.
He told a similar story in the Oh Father episode that we put out a little while back. Go back and check that out.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, so A Man Called Otto. Streaming now. You're saying it's out on DVD.
It's out on DVD or Blu-ray.
Have you seen? There's got to be some extras on there.
It's not one that I would buy. And you know, I'm very picky when it comes to what I buy as far as my collection. But
where do you, Legally Blonde 1 and 2? Where are those? Which rack is that on?
Those have never been in my collection.
I don't know. We'll see about that.
They were probably in my DVD collection. That's when I used to buy like everything that came out that week.
Yeah.
But I don't, you know, I probably have in this crazy collection about the only thing I have on DVD now is either concerts that they just never put on Blu-ray.
Or sports, maybe. Sports things.
Yeah, right. Like the Red Sox, when they had the real good box sets where you got every game.
Yeah, that was amazing.
But SNL, I have a lot of SNL, you know, like the best of Dana Carvey, the best of Adam Sandler.
She's chopping broccoli.
Yeah. For some reason, they didn't port them to Blu-ray.
Chopping broccoli. Yeah. All right, folks. Well, that's going to do it for this review of A Man Called Otto and another episode of the Oh Brother podcast. I've been your host, Dan Smith. Alongside me, as always, my brother from the same mother, Mike Smith, and we will see you next time.
Bye, everyone.
Hi, everyone. This is Cindy Busby, and you're listening to the Oh Brother podcast.